I am Planta on the line. This is thecommentary.ca. William Gilkerson joins me now. He received the Governor General's Prize in 2006 for his novel Pirate's Passage. He is an artist, author, and historian. His work has appeared nearly everywhere of note, and his books number a dozen, and they range from histories to fiction, satire, to lavish art collections. He has a new book out, A Thousand Years of Pirates. At first glance, you'd think it's a young reader's book, but the art is fascinating to look at, and the history is riveting. The image we have of pirates are that of thieves, adventurous, terrorizing, and dark. The portrait from this book is a little more three-dimensional. They're ruthless killers, some of them, but they are also, for some, heroes, valiant and courageous. The website for more is williamgilkerson.com. A Thousand Years of Pirates is published by Tundra Books, an imprint of McClelland and Stewart. Please welcome to the Planta Online program from his home in Nova Scotia, William Gilkerson. Good day, Mr. Gilkerson.
Good day, sir.
Thanks for joining us. How old were you when you were first attracted to pirates?
Well, I think the piracy addiction sets it in a very early age for a lot of people. And at my ripe old age, probably predates my memory. I once wanted to go down the Mississippi River on a railway tie raft that a friend was building, but it didn't work out. I'm afraid I didn't get very close to it.
How much time do you spend on the sea?
Well, in my life, I've spent quite a lot. Currently, I spend most of my time in my studio trying to do a lot of projects.
Yeah, but I mean, in terms of the year, this past year, do you live on the sea? Your home there in Nova Scotia, it's on the sea, right?
Well, yes, it is.
Yeah.
It's got a very good sheltered mooring.
And how much time do you spend on a boat, say?
Oh, as much as I possibly can, which is not as much as I'd like.
Yeah.
We've got an old boat, 1874, and we keep it up as best we can afford to, and love sailing it.
Do you find that you can write on the sea?
I do, sure. If you're writing about boats, you have to be on them and listen to their sounds and watch how they work.
The view of pirates in our popular culture and our history is not a favorable one, is it?
Well, not particularly, no.
How do you view them?
Pirates.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think piracy is going on around us all the time, and the word pirate simply means when it's happening on a ship. We're surrounded by all sorts of scam artists, thieves, and people who feed on their fellow beings in one way or another. So in some way, piracy is a pervasive condition, and that particular application of the word nails it to a ship. I suppose all professions, you get people who are very kind and pretty benevolent people, and you get others who are absolute cads. And piracy was, the pirates were, the classical pirates were no different. In fact, most of them were a brotherhood of people who had escaped really repressive lives, brutal lives, such as in the Navy or something like that, and gotten away to form their own groups, mostly on islands in the Mediterranean. And they weren't interested in beating people and being cruel to them. That's what they were getting away from. What they wanted to do was simply tax the governments that had abused them, and they often let the ships that they captured go. And sometimes those ships needed provisions or were in bad shape, and the pirates would fix them up, sailors to sailors, and send them on their way. So it's a pretty big grouping when you and there really is no such thing as the pirates. A whole handful of individuals, just as everywhere else.
How do you feel about the word piracy used in the context of, say, the internet and music, downloading music and the sort?
Well, there you go. Classic example.
Yeah.
Except, of course, they don't do it on boats.
No, they don't. They do it on the internet. Yeah. In these thousand years of pirates that you write about, you chronicle in this book, you encounter pirates who acted ethically.
Well, ethically, according to any moral standard, this is brought out in my book that you mentioned, Pirate's Passage. There was, for instance, a pirate captain whose name was Tom White. And at one point they took a ship, and there were a pair of kids, little children on deck, crying and crying, and he asked them what they were crying about and learned that their tiny little stash of silver spoons had been taken by somebody on the ship, and White immediately mustered his crew and took them to task for being cruel and too rough. And so the little kids got their spoons back, and the whole piratical gang took a collection for them and sent them on their way undamaged in their undamaged ship. So there you... But nobody wants to read about acts of kindness.
No.
What we love is the pirate Lolonois cutting open a prisoner and pulling out his living heart and taking bites out of it. That seems to be more to the public taste. Tom White wouldn't get anywhere, I'm afraid, on modern TV.
What do you make of movies like the Pirates of the Caribbean? Have you seen that? Have you seen those pictures?
Yeah. Well, I thought that the first one was great, good fun, and the second one deteriorated somewhat, and I don't think I've seen... I'm told there's a third, but I haven't seen it. Johnny Depp is pretty good.
Yeah. It seems to me, after reading the book, that you could only tell the story of pirates through art. Was that the goal at the beginning, to write an illustrated book rather than just a straight text?
Well, the way that that happened was that I was some years ago commissioned to study the subject of piracy, and from that study I made about 80 paintings and drawings. And when the novel Pirate's Passage was published, which told the stories of this whole story of piracy through the ages and different characters and whatnot, I was done with them and had nothing for them except to write a novel saying the same thing, which I did. And the publisher didn't want to use all the pictures because they'd been done for a novel. Instead, they went out for some museum exhibitions. And so really, these are the illustrations that were never published with the book that the Governor General kindly awarded me my award for.
I understand that you and Donald Sutherland are working on a project regarding pirates?
Yes. He has Pirate's Passage, the novel, and their art department has my pictures for whatever use they're making of them, and it's in process now.
Your publicist, as I mentioned earlier, sent me an email about you, and she mentioned that you and Sutherland have been hanging out lately.
Well, I really like him.
Yeah.
He's a wonderful guy. And our minds seem to work curiously alike. So that's always fun when you meet somebody to work on a good project with.
His iconic film work aside, his most recent work on television are some of my two favorite roles. The Gina Davis, the show where she's the president, he played the Speaker of the House.
Yeah.
And the other drama, where he's some sort of New York City tycoon, Dirty Sexy Money. I just he's just great in that, you know.
He was one of the anchors of the entire operation, as far as I could see.
Yeah. When did you meet Hemingway?
I must have been 1957, I think, or 56, but I think 57.
Were you writing already?
I was doing a bit of writing. I was mostly studying art, and I was living in Chicago, and I fell in love as a young man with Ernest Hemingway and decided just to go down and see him spontaneously. And I did, and he was very kind to me and took me in and poured me a bunch of booze and himself. And we watched baseball games played by the kids in the neighborhood. And he philosophized to me, and it was a wonderful experience. He was a very generous guy.
Yeah. Did you learn anything from meeting him that helped you with your writing, perhaps?
Yeah, I think I learned things from him which helped me with my writing and my painting and probably some other things besides.
Yeah. You've written a number of books now, and has it only been recently that you've written for younger audiences?
Yes. Yes, and it's a very good thing to do because it forces the discipline of simplicity.
Yeah. And what is that because you're writing for an audience that's younger, or is that the subject matter, perhaps?
Well, you have to say what you've got to say in a way that a young person can read it, and frequently that turns out to be the best way to write it for adults.
Yeah.
So it seems to me. And just getting across points without lathering them or dithering.
Yeah. This Governor General's Prize that you won 3 years ago, has it sort of pigeonholed you as a young reader's writer?
I hope not.
Yeah.
I do kind of more and more feel like writing for young kids. I have a couple of books in mind that would be just for young kids. One of them, a story told by a boat, a family boat, and you get all the family foibles through the eyes of the boat. And I thought that would be good for 8-year and 9-year olds.
Yeah.
Don't know whether I'll get around to finishing it or not.
Do you hear from your young readers?
Yes. In one case, a whole class full of young readers.
That must be great as a writer.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, what are they interested in when they write you? Do they ask you questions about the writing, about pirates?
Oh, all kinds of questions all over the place. I want to say, while you're doing this call, that the publisher who printed this book, 1,000 Years of Pirates, has done a breathtaking thing, and this should be pointed out, and that is to make an old-fashioned picture book, the way they were done 100 years ago, and aren't done much anymore because they're too expensive to do that way. The publishers lavished every expense on making what everybody says is just the best-looking book in years, with beautiful, lush paper and fine bindings and jacket and top-notch treatment all the way. And just the right size so that a kid can hold it in his lap and look at it, and yet it's big enough to make an impression.
And if you don't have young readers at your house, you can put it on your coffee table. And it's for adults just the same, I think.
Yeah, and you wouldn't have to have a very big coffee table.
No, you wouldn't, yeah.
Because it's not one of the huge coffee table books that legs should be issued with.
The art that we see in the book that you've done, are they mainly drawings or are they paintings? Or I know nothing about art, so
mostly paintings and some drawings. The publisher used 5 colors, which is a very lavish way of treating color in a book nowadays.
Yeah,
gives a very fine reproduction. And this is the best reproduction of my work that I've really been treated to over the course of my life.
When you're illustrating something, is accuracy the most important thing for you?
Well, accuracy and movement. You've got to keep the picture vibrant. Accuracy is great, but too much accuracy can lock up a picture and take away its energy. So you have to get both aspects. You have to get a movement and a flow of energy through the picture. And then if you can, to the extent that you can weave it in, you make everything as accurately as you possibly can. So you can get both.
And how much in your artwork is there, say, interpretation of what's happened?
Interpretation?
Yeah.
Well, it's all interpretive because when I show Morgan taking Panama, that was in 1670 or something, and I wasn't there.
Of course.
So I have to figure it out. And one of the things that I had to do was get in touch with a friend at the National Geographic and get hundreds of slides of modern-day Madagascar so that I could do a reconstruction of the buildings that were there when Kidd was there and get them accurate.
As opposed to the actual illustrating, how much research do you do?
Well, a lot.
A lot. And like, how much time is that as opposed to the actual drawing, painting, etc.?
Really, most of it. It's, in fact, there's so much research that none of these books have been done in a year or two. They've all taken many years and are part of long-term projects.
Have you sailed much up and down our coast here in the West Coast here in Vancouver?
No, but I have right down south of you all along the California coast and beyond.
Yeah. We've also seen in recent months and pirates in Somalia hijacking ships and the sort.
Yep.
What do you make of that?
Well, it's exactly the same pattern that we were looking at 300 years, which is to say that some people who have been abused have taken upon themselves to go on their own account. And the thing that the newspaper and TV spectaculars don't generally mention about the Somali pirates is that this is their way of making a living after their fish stocks were fished out by the Spanish and Portuguese fishermen and others that came and played their coasts and pretty much raped them because the Somalis were too poor to have any kind of a navy or coast guard. And then also it was found to be a wonderful place to go and dump shiploads of toxic chemicals into the ocean because there was nobody regulating that particular part of the ocean. So this is what was done to them, and this is what they're doing back. In fact, as pirates go, the Somalians have been, as far as I can tell, mostly fairly gentle with their captives, who they've kept in good shape and just simply ransomed.
There were also female pirates, right? In your book?
Yes, there were, quite a number.
You talk about one in this book.
In this book I talk about one in particular who was Grace O'Malley, or Granuaile, who was so-called the Pirate Queen of Ireland.
Well, what's interesting about her for you?
Well, that she was a little girl who had a father who just doted on her, and he taught her how to sail. And he was descended from the old kings and was chieftain of Murrisk, and his name was Debarra. And his daughter was called Grace, or Granuaile in Irish. And he just loved her, and he taught her all about sailing and pirating, dealing with handling all sorts of ships, plus politics. And she was schooled in Latin and whatnot. And she loved to sail out with her men on the ships, be in command, gamble with them, and be a commodore. And she was very good at it. And she greatly irritated Queen Elizabeth I of England, who thought that Ireland really ought to belong to her. But Grace O'Malley disputed that, and she's got a lovely story.
What else are you working on now, William?
Oh, aside from a couple of little kids' projects, I'm working away over a series of stories about very interesting and oddball teachers I've had over the course of my life.
And those aren't just school teachers, right?
They're not just school teachers. One of them was, but most of them were just people sort of met randomly who turned into very good teachers indeed, sometimes spectacularly oddball.
Yeah. Well, we'll await that. I mean, I've become a fan of your writing after this book. It's been such a pleasure to talk to you today. Continued good luck with this book, William.
You're very kind. Thank you.
You're very welcome. The book is called A Thousand Years of Pirates. The website for more incidentally is williamgilkerson.com. The book is published by Tundra from his home in Nova Scotia. William Gilkerson on the line in Vancouver. I'm Joseph Plante.